Psalm 79. I told you this morning I was going to preach on Will God Impeach America? Look at Psalm 79, verse 4. In verse 4, 79, he says, "We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low." I think that's where our country is, don't you? Amen.
Amen.
If you've watched the news lately, we hear that word impeach. Impeach. We need to impeach the president. We need to impeach this one. We need to impeach that one. And a lot of people don't know what that means. And so to sound proper and not put it in South Carolina definition where some of you... other people wouldn't understand. I wrote it down straight from the dictionary. Here's what it says. Impeach or impeachment is the process by which a legislative body formally levels charges against a high official or government. Or impeach means to call into question the integrity or validity of a practice or practices. I would say that America could be called for impeachment or to be impeached by the government of God Himself, because I believe that we have got to the point that God can question the integrity or the validity of the practices of our nation, our government, our people, even our churches.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe a holy God, just like He looked down on Israel and He brought judgment. He had an accusation against them that what they were doing was not valid, and it was what they were practicing was not right. So therefore, God brought judgment on them. He impeached them, and judgment fell on Israel. And now here in Psalm 79, the people of Israel are calling on God. In verse 4, we're become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. Other countries look on America now, and they don't look at us like they used to as the greatest nation on planet Earth. Now they look at us differently, and they look at us with scorn, and they question our integrity. They question our purposes and our practices. Don't you think so? We used to be the promised land, and now we're the scorned land. And the world looks at us and they laugh at us. And they mock us. And I believe the Islamic world especially looks at us and mocks us. Look at Psalm 80. In Psalm 80, you'll see that Israel was a nation in despair. Look at verse 4. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Israel was a great nation, but in despair. And God was no longer hearing their prayers. And they were having a lot of trial and a lot of tribulation that brought a lot of weeping and a lot of tears. And God ignored their tears. Now that's not the God of the modern church. That's not the God of Joel Osteen. That's not the God of the popularity movement that's going on now in the churches. This is a holy God. And He won't hear unholy prayers. And He won't participate in unholy practices. And He won't okay unholy people. He'll ignore your tears when you get that way. And Israel had gotten so bad, even though they prayed, they had the sacrifices, they had the ceremonies, they had the right ones. They went through the motions every Sabbath and every day they were doing sacrifices. And they had the high holy days and they had the feast and all these things. And yet, God refused to hear their prayers because God had found, just like I said, a question in their integrity. And He questioned their even purposes, what they wanted to do. And God brought judgment on them. Now, for some reason, we've Americanized the church, we've Americanized the Bible, and when you do that, you lose all the power because you lose all the meaning. Somebody told me one day, they accused me, another preacher in this town said, Brother Ron Roddy wants to take the church back to the 19th century. I said, no, I want to take it back to the first century. I want to go back to the original church, and I want it to be like it used to be. I want to have church like it used to be. Amen. We don't need to modernize or homogenize or simonize and all that stuff to make it pretty. We need to get back to old-fashioned Bible preaching and Bible practicing. If we do not, God does not wink at sin. He don't do it. And just because we live in the second most powerful land that's ever been on planet Earth, we live in the second most prosperous land that's ever been on planet Earth, don't you think that God can't take all that away? It's happened before in this country. It's happened more than once. Most of you didn't live during the Great Depression. Some of your parents did. They told you stories. My mama told me stories. Of course, they didn't have it bad because her daddy run a little store down there at the mill. And he was also a magistrate. She told me that story again today. He was a magistrate, she said, but the neighborhood was so poor that they didn't have an office, so he had to try cases in his living room on the mill hill. It was hard times. It was bad. And it was all brought about because of sin. God let the Great Depression come upon America because of sin. God judged America. And America got right. America got right. And then World War II. And then America got right. And then, listen, that 9/11. You remember 9/11? Boy, you couldn't even get in the church that next Sunday. For just a little while, America got right. Just for a little while. But now we've gone the other way again. Israel was right. Israel had the power and the presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God Himself would come down in their temple. Amen. I mean, I got hair standing up on the back of my neck now, but I've never felt the complete power and the presence of God like Moses did there on that mountain. And when he came down, they had put a rag over his face because the power of God had gotten onto him so much that if people got around him, they'd fall out because God was on him. Amen. I've never had that much. But I've been in services and I've been in prayer times where the power of God would come onto a room and all you could do is just lay there on the floor and cry out to God and just, oh God, oh God, oh God. You couldn't even talk no more. There wasn't no laughing. There wasn't no jumping up and down. There wasn't no waving and dancing, all that stuff. You'll get prostrate before God when God comes in. And they had that every time they met. The generation we have now never experienced that. A lot of my generation never experienced that. I believe, Billy, like me and you, we come in there and I, I was saved in 1978. I believe I came in on the end of a great movement of God. During the 50s and the 60s, there was a great movement of God. And during the 70s, and I think I was one of those last ones to get in before that movement passed on. So some of my generation has never felt the power of a holy God. They've never trembled in the presence of God. They've never wept uncontrollably. Have you ever been in the presence of God where all you can do is just weep and cry and uncontrollably, you can't control. It feels like your heart's going to come out your mouth. Israel had this every day. Every time they had sacrifices, God was there. Every time they had ceremonies, God was there. And God kept telling them, you're special people. You're chosen people. I've chosen you of all the people in the world. I've chosen you to bring my son through. And listen, all you got to do is obey me and I'll bless you. That's all you got to do is just obey me. Be obedient. And you know the story over and over. They were disobedient over and over. God had to chasten them and bring them back. But look, they were a nation in despair. In verse 4, look at it again. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? God get mad even when they prayed. He'd get angry when they'd pray. You know why? It was a hypocritical praying. They weren't practicing what they were praying. And let me tell you something. We don't go to God and pray and ask God to bless us when we're living for the devil. God's not going to hear that. And that angers God. People don't talk about the anger of God anymore. That angers God when people do that. To go to God, somebody's shacking up, go to God and ask God to bless their house. You think that pleases God? God's angry with that kind of stuff. Amen. That makes me, that you would ask me to bless that? I remember one time at that place I told you about I worked that I hated, they had a Christmas dinner, and they said, well, you say the blessing. And these were rich people, you know. And they had wine and beer and everything they did. And I said, is there going to be alcohol there? He said, of course. I said, then I won't pray. What? You won't pray? I thought you was a preacher. I said, I am. But I'm not going to ask God to bless something that He says there's a curse on. He said, cursed is every man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lip. And I'm not saying the blessing over that because God's not going to hear that prayer. Amen. And I didn't go. And I didn't pray. Maybe that's why they hated me so bad. I don't know. But I know this, you better be careful how you pray. A prayer of an unrepentant people is an insult to God. Think of it like this. If your children were disobedient, I mean disobedient to the max, and then they come to you next day and say, Daddy, will you buy me a car? They didn't say, Daddy, I'm sorry I've been treating you like a low-down dog and I've been hurting your feelings and Mama's been going to bed every night crying. I'm sorry, Daddy. Ought not been like that. Daddy, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then say, Daddy, I need a car. They just skip right over to repentance. You know what that would make me if one of my kids did that? I'd look at them and I'd say, I can't believe you even asked that. I can't believe you'd ask something like that. The way you've treated me and the way you treated your mama. Get out of here. Don't talk to me about stuff like that until you get right. Come on. You say, preacher, I wouldn't do that. That's what God does. And these Israel was praying, and when they pray, it says it right there. It angered God when they pray. Well, how many of our churches go through the motions every Sunday? They say prayers in the opening, and they say prayer over the offering, and they say prayer before the sermon, and it's a bunch of lying hypocrites praying. I'll never forget, and I'm not going to call his name, but you'll know who he is. Church I got saved in had a deacon that worked for the Budweiser company. Work for the Budweiser company. And they'd asked him to stand up and pray. And even unbiblical as I was and didn't know any better, I just got saved. I knew this, God ain't hearing that prayer. God ain't hearing that prayer. Now, y'all awful quiet on me. You don't work for the Budweiser company, do you? Amen. And by the way, That church really ain't there no more. There's a building there, but the church that existed is not there anymore. It's the same name, but it's not the same crowd where he and I went. Amen? God is angry with the wicked every day. Yeah, he's angry with the homosexual. He's angry with the adulterer. He's angry every day with the fornicator. He's angered with the liar and the thief and the crook. But let me tell you something. There's a special anger for a hypocritical prayer to a holy God. We got these churches with these little preacherettes running around here. I'm fixing to get mean, Brother Jeffrey. Bunch of little preacherettes preaching to a bunch of little Christianettes so they can run out to the kitchenette and smoke them a cigarette. Amen. Bunch of sorry, low-down hirelings. And then they put on a big show, you know, and they make big salaries. I got a shock the other day. I found the list of the 10 richest preachers in America. There's one right up the street. And I'm telling you something. You go ahead and you have a good time right now. You have a good time. But I wouldn't call that man to my mama's funeral. I wouldn't call that crowd to my wife's bedside if she was in the hospital. Amen? I'd get me somebody and you could get a prayer through. Amen? Amen. I'd get Cheryl up there. She can get a prayer through. I get Sister Joyce up there. She can get a prayer through. Amen? I ain't scared to call on a woman. My mama was a woman. My wife's a woman. Bunch of little preacherettes. Jack leg preachers called of their own, appointed in their own position, named their own salary, and now they're trying to get people to God. God doesn't even hear that mess. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'd rather have a preacher that couldn't read and write past the third grade, but he preached with all his power and all his might. He lived right, walked right, spit white. Amen. Y'all old people, y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all don't know what spit white means? Listen. Look at verse 6 real quick. Will God impeach America? Verse 6, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Now thank God we got a nominal Christian in the White House now. I say nominal. He just barely is one. I don't know. I wouldn't talk a lot about salvation. I don't know, but you know. But at least he'll stand up and say, God bless America.
Amen.
At least he'll call a real preacher to come up to pray.
Amen.
At least he'll let Christians back in the White House. He lets preachers back in the White House. Amen?
Amen.
We hadn't had any Muslim meetings in the White House since he got in there. Amen. Amen. The day Imam stands up here be a day that I'm already dead and gone. Don't even want to talk about it. Listen, verse 6, he said our enemies laugh at us. That little fat man over there in North Korea, he's got about a 12-year-old brain with a 40-year-old body. Amen. The man lives on a diet of Twinkies and Dr. Pepper. I can tell by looking at him. He needs to shoot. He shoots people he don't like. He needs to shoot his barber. I'm preaching the Bible now, ain't I? I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. Amen. Don't he? Y'all seen his hair? The Democrats say, don't make him mad. He'll shoot a missile. I'd shoot one first. Amen? We got all these little pussy-footing, frilly, panting men running our country called Democrats, and they scared to death make people mad by talking about Jesus Christ or God or the Bible. I'm glad we finally got somebody in there that's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't know if he's saved or not, but I know this. He don't mind having a Bible. He doesn't mind having Christianity in the White House. Now they're opening Congress and the Senate with Christian prayers, not imams. Our enemies laugh at us. That little Korean sits over there and eats him a Twinkie and drinks him his Dr. Pepper and pushes a button and shoots off another missile and says, they can't do nothing. They're powerless. They ain't got no... They're scared to do anything. Their God's dead. He's not going to help them. He's an atheist. And they laugh at us. Over in Russia, Putin's running around without his shirt on. He walks like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He's laughing at us. He doesn't have the Soviet Union anymore. He's got one country. It's called Russia. He don't have the power to fight anybody like us. We're still the most powerful nation in the world. We are. We still got the biggest everything. The most powerful everything. And yet he sits over and laughs at us because these inept leaders that we got who have left God and they've left our ancestors' beliefs and they've left everything that we were ever founded on and they see that God's taking his hand off of us, backed off way off, and they laugh at us and say, where's your God now? We're not scared of you. That's the same thing happened in Israel, is it not? I just read it to you. Our enemies laugh at us.
Come on now.
Well, it used to be anywhere in the world you went with that flag right there. That's what they do. Some of you fellas been overseas. You know what I'm talking about. That's what they do. Hey, amen. G.I. American G.I. Hey, hey, American G.I. All right, American G.I. Not anymore. They cuss them, spit on them. Just like Israel. You know, just like Israel, our nation was designed by God himself. There had never been another nation like Israel. God designed Israel in a way no other nation had ever been designed. Look at verse 8 in chapter 80 there, Psalms. Look at verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, you brought Israel out of Egypt. And you cast all those heathens out of that land and you put us in that land. Now, so y'all say whatever you want to about the founding of America. Liberal teaching has ruined the real history of America. A lot of you have been deceived. And you think we come over here and we just shot everybody up and stole everything they had. That's not the truth. You need to come to American Christian History Night tomorrow night. I'll teach you the truth. That's not the way it happened. Now, the Spaniards came here to get gold. That's all they came for. But the Europeans came here for religious freedom and liberty to worship God in the way they saw fit. And the Baptists founded Rhode Island. It was the only state that was Baptist. And the Constitution of Rhode Island is what our national constitution, part of it's copied from the separation, we call it. It's not called that in the Constitution, but the separation of church and state. That was first in the Constitution of Rhode Island. The founder of Rhode Island said, every man has a free conscience and he has a right to believe whatever he wants to, even if he's wrong. And that's why Rhode Island was founded. And in the framing of the Constitution, they took that Constitution of that state and they took parts of it and put it in our national Constitution. Now let me tell you something. This nation was founded on freedom to worship Jesus Christ in liberty and truth. Amen. Now things happen. Things always happen. But don't you let these liberal people tell you that we're just a bunch of hordes of Europeans coming over here killing Indians and killing babies and all. That's not true. Bad things did happen. Yes, they did. Some people did do some things. But the majority of Americans that came over here first came over here to worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Many of the Native Americans made friends with them and were converted.
But don't you let this liberal crowd tell you any difference. Our nation, just like Israel, had a divine design. You ever thought about this? All those thousands of years that this millions of miles of property just sat here with a few million Indians on it. And they migrated across the Bering Strait from Russia and that part of Europe, you know, a far eastern part. And they migrated. That's why they look Oriental. Look at the American Eskimo. He looks just like a Japanese. They were Oriental people that migrated across the Bering Strait into Alaska. And over the years, different families just migrated down all the way through the continent, all the way down Central America, all the way down to South America. And look, these people had a remembrance. Listen to this. They had a remembrance of the true God. You go look at some of their historical markings. Some of them have crosses in their historical markings. I can show you totem poles that have crosses on them before they ever met the white people. That's why they only worship one God, the Great Spirit. Now you listen to me. This nation was saved, this continent was saved right here for what we're doing tonight, right here. And He designed and raised up this nation to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to spread the gospel through the whole world. And there have been more missionaries sent from this country and preached more gospel all the way around the world than any other country that's ever existed. And that's why God reserved this land till we got here so we could set that up. Read about the Constitution. God was in the forming of the Constitution. It took them years to make that thing. They argued back and forth. And I'll never forget, they was arguing one night and late into the night trying to get one part of it. And I think it was Benjamin Franklin. He said, fellas, we've been, and it's my way of saying it, okay? He said, fellas, we've been arguing and talking back and forth. We can't get nothing settled. God, the creator of the universe, is what founded this country. Why don't we invite him in on what we're doing? And they prayed and asked God to help them. And then everything turned around. Now you listen to me. This nation, it was made by divine design. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. But I'm now also not ashamed of the country that he put me in that allows me to believe and preach and teach that. No other country in the world has what we have. None. I'm talking about not material. Other countries, you can go to church, but you can't take it out the door. You can have Bible study in your backyard. Even in Israel itself, you can't try to convert somebody on the street. You'll go to jail. You'll go to jail. There's a law against proselyting on the streets of Israel. And if you're trying to convert a Jew or a Muslim on the streets of Israel to Christianity, they will lock you up and put you in jail. And that's a religious-friendly country. Think what they would do in Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Sudan. They'd chop your head off. God was in on this country, just like he was in on Israel. God, by divine design. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. Now, let me show you something. God planted Israel. God planted America. God protected Israel. God, would you agree with me? God has protected America. Amen. Boy, I like history. Some of y'all need to read history. Old Hickory. You know who Old Hickory is? Andrew Jackson. Born right down here in South Carolina in the Indian land. Born right down there. When I was in the first, second grade, they took up pennies in South Carolina, the Lancaster school system, to make that big bronze statue of him sitting up on that horse. And I gave some pennies. That's part of my horse. But I read about him, and he inspired me. Now, the liberal teachers now teach he was a heathen, and he was a wife beater, and all this. No, sir, he wasn't. And he saved our nation. And he helped establish what we have today. And there's been many others just like him. But you know what? He would pray. And he'd get his soldiers to pray. And George Washington would pray. And he'd get his soldiers to pray. Even in the Civil War. I don't know about those
people from up yonder. But the Southerners, General Lee would pray, and he'd get his soldiers to pray. Amen? Now, that's what this nation's all about. It's not about Snoop Dogg. It's not about whatever the lead, I don't know who the latest huzzy is on singer now. Hey, it's not all about that. It's not about that little harlot that's doing the dance on TV and the movies and all that stuff. This country is about the glory and the protection of God Himself. Just like with Israel. Hang on, I'm getting somewhere. Listen, look at Psalm 80, verse 10. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. In other words, God in His presence and His power, He prospered the land. The land grew, and it grew, and it grew. All right, now look at verse 15. Verse 15, he said, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch which thou hast made strong for thyself. Now, God's prospered America. God's prospered. Look at me, young people. Look at me. You don't know any poor people. There's hardly any poor people left. What we call poor, the rest of the world would call rich. Now, you can go to the lower state, South Carolina. You can go down there where y'all went the other day. And you can go down around Charleston and Somerville and all that. And you can find some what we would call poor people. They still live in a little one-room shack, and they still got a little tin roof on it. There's probably some Appalachian Americans like that. And we call them hillbillies in South Carolina. And there's probably still some people like that around. But let me tell you something. The poorest person in America is blessed by God Himself to be born here and have the ability to live in this country, and compared to other countries, they're rich. During Christmas, we'd do those boxes with the Franklin organization, and they send videos and stuff of these kids getting these boxes, you know. Shoe box with simple stuff in it. Simple, simple, simple. Your kids wouldn't even want it. If you gave it to your kids for Christmas, they'd look at it and say, ew. And you ought to slap them. But they'd look at it, ew, is that all I get? Yeah. But if we send those off to other countries, they send us videos back. These kids are going crazy. Woo! Man, they run home, they take you home. Unbelievable. Because, see, in our country, the poor people compared to those people are rich. Cheryl's got friends that live over there in huts. Live in the mountains over there. I don't know why she goes over there. She just likes to torture herself, I guess. But she goes over there, and those people are living in... they live in a blockhouse. And let me tell you something. It's not much better than being homeless over here. But you know, when homeless people, they have opportunities that people in other countries don't even have. Are y'all still with me? That's because God has prospered America. We didn't do that. God did that. And then it's divinely protected. Look at verse 12 in chapter 80. I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. Chapter 80, look at verse 12. He says, why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? In other words, God had put hedges around Israel. He had divinely encased them. He had surrounded them with His power and His presence. And then when they fell into sin and they didn't repent and they prayed anyway and they went through the motions, he said that God had put those hedges up and God let them fall. You remember the book of Job? And the old devil, he goes up to the throne, you know, and the Lord says, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth. And you know what the rest of it is? Seeking whom He may devour. He said, I've been to and fro. He said, well, listen, have you considered my servant Job? And he starts bragging on Job. And the devil says, you got a hedge around him. You take your hedge down, he'll cuss you to your face. God's people have hedges built around.
Hey, God protected this country. For all those years, God has put a hedge around the country called the United States of America.
Yes, He has. Thank you, Lord.
Man, we've been here hundreds of years, and the only fighting we've had is between each other. Amen. Man, when the British tried to come back in 1812 and take it over, they kicked them out. There was one time that the Russians tried to invade Alaska and they got turned away before they ever even got in there. The Japanese tried by bombing Pearl Harbor, but that was the best they did. They threw everything they had at us all at one time and they couldn't do nothing else to us. Germany was trying to make missiles, could get over here and the missiles wouldn't even get here. Now that little fat man, North Korea, he's trying to make missiles. They ain't even going to reach Hawaii, brother. We'll have them things blow down before they get 10 miles outside of his country. God has put a hedge around our country. Would y'all agree with that? We live in the safest country in the world. Now, the politicians, you know, they're going to tell you all kinds of things to get you to vote. But we live in the safest. We have never been invaded from an outside force. Not really. God's got hedges up. God had a hedge around Israel. But they were in danger. You know why? He had those hedges around them. But, listen, just like he went to Job, I mean, the devil went to the Lord and talked about Job, and God said, okay, I'll take the hedge down. And let him in. If God sees that America gets as backslid as Israel got, He'll take the hedge down. And I don't care how many anti-ballistic missiles you got, if God takes His hedge down, some of them ain't even going to work. And there'll be a lot of destruction. Amen? You know, it wouldn't take one of those bombs to destroy the millions of people in New York City. One bomb. One bomb. Charlotte, North Carolina, be wiped out with half a bomb. And it'd wipe us out in the meantime. Let me tell you something. God took the hedges down from around Israel and He let invaders come in. He did it. Now, look here. Don't turn there. I don't have time. Isaiah 5, 1 through 5, God said, I planted a vineyard, planted my best vines, but it produced wild grapes. So I tore down the hedge and burned it. Do you hear what he's saying? Through Isaiah, he said, I planted Israel. I planted a vine. I wanted some good grapes on that thing, and it turned out it gave me those old wild, sour grapes. So I tore down the hedge, and I burned it down. You say, Brother Ron, you think God would destroy America? I think God's the only thing that could destroy America. Amen. You say, Brother Ron, you think that God would allow some other country to invade America? I think if we don't watch out, all this sinful pride that we've got, living in sinful pride, even though our country is full of perversion and wickedness and all these things, I think God just might let a hedge or two go down so we can see what it's like not to have God's hand around us. I think when they bombed Pearl Harbor, He took His hand down that day. Psalm 80, look at verse 12. He says, Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by do pluck her? You know what he's saying? He had a vineyard. It wasn't any good. So he tore the hedges down. Now everybody walks by and get a little piece of it. A little piece of it. Do you know how many countries would like to get a little piece of us? All God's got to do is take His hand down. So, all right. And He did with Israel, by the way. They were captured and taken into other countries and made into slaves and everything else for hundreds and hundreds of years. It happened 7 times with Israel.
You think we're any better than Israel? You think you're a better believer than a Jew during that time was? No. You've never even seen the things they saw. You've never experienced God like they experienced God. And you think just because one little old church on John Street still trying to be right with God, that God won't tear down the hedges? Hey, let me tell you something. God may do just that if our nation does not get right with God. Look at verse 13, chapter 80. That the boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. You know what he's saying? These things that are out there with that vineyard are destroying that vineyard. I kind of relate that to corruption on the inside. Now let me tell you something. Listen to me. Listen, I know it's boring to some of y'all, but listen to me. There's never been a time in the history of America where it's been more corrupt in our government than it is right now. Now I'm not telling you who to vote for or nothing, but when they hate people, Brother Rick, when they hate a president that refuses to take a salary, you know he don't take a salary. When they hate a man that refuses to take a salary and he doesn't play their games. You see, a career politician, and we got some running right now, you better be careful who you vote for. A career politician goes in it for what's... It used to be a public service. How can I help my community? How can I help my people? But now it's how can I help me? And they're making connections. And they're making deals. You remember when the last time Obama talked to Putin and they were before the cameras and he leaned over and he said, when I get elected again, I'll have more leeway to work with you. He thought the microphone wasn't on, it was on. You know what he was saying? We'll make some more deals. And you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Our government's full of it. Hey, I'll tell you, hey, look, listen to me. Some of y'all ain't never seen it, some of you have. It was a movie made by Jimmy Stewart back in the 50s, I guess. Some of you remember Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? You need to watch that again. That's exactly what's going on right now. You need to watch that again. Some of you young people need to watch that. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Simple, God-fearing, Constitution loving young man goes to Washington and he finds out that the men that he thought were heroes are really a bunch of crooks. Amen. And they're not looking out for anybody but themselves and their future. And that's what he said right here. From the inside, the vineyard was destroyed from inside.
Amen. Yep.
Look here. Leviticus 18:25, and I wrote it down if you want to turn there, but it says, and the land is defiled, and I do visit the iniquity upon it, and the land itself will vomit out her inhabitants. You understand what he's saying? Our sins even defile the land that we live on. It grieves God for the things that go on this dirt that this America's on. And look, it can get so bad that God will allow this land to vomit the people out of this land. It happened in Israel. Just vomited them out. Every one of them, they call it the diaspora. And they all were taken away, except the sick and old. Don't think because we have a large population, a large land mass, and a large arsenal that God won't allow us just to get kicked out of this country. Our biggest hope because we're in a moral free fall. We're in a moral free fall. Let me park it. Can I park it right there a minute? It's five after, and you've been listening a long time. But can I park this here for just a minute? A moral free fall. You know what a free fall is? That's when you jump out of an airplane without a parachute. That's a free fall, man. There ain't no strap. We're in a moral free fall. And our country morally is just falling and falling and falling and falling. And who would have thought, Sister Betty, 30 years ago, the mess that would be going on in this country today? And 40 years ago, I was part of the problem. But now, let me tell you something. I told a little boy the other day, I said, if you was a teenager, when I was a teenager, wearing that earring, somebody either would have kissed you or snatched that thing out of your ear. Little boy came to camp, he had one of those little earrings on. I said, son, now, we're talking 11 years old. I said, son, why are you wearing that earring? He said, it's in style. I said, well, next week, what if it's in style to have one lipstick? You going to do that? I said, well, what about the next week if it's in style to have one eyebrow painted? One eyelash. You going to do that? No. I said, well, what about the next week if it's in style to wear one leg of the pantyhose? You going to wear one leg of the pantyhose? I wouldn't ever do that. I said, that's what you probably said 5 years ago about that stinking earring. He said, but the girls like it. I said, I got news for you. Some of the boys like it too. Who would ever thought that? Who would ever thought you'd have to tell little boys not to wear earrings? Man bun. If I had a boy put his hair up in a bun like that, I'd get a pair of scissors and just cut right there. I'd just walk up to him and just cut it off myself. I wouldn't care how mad he got. I'd say, boy, you ain't no one of them. Amen. Oh, y'all gonna get mad at me. I went shopping with my wife and my daughters yesterday for my wife to get a Mother's Day present. We went out to see T.J. Maxx. Is that the name of T.J. Maxx? Boy, I'm sorry I went. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Tights. That's underwear. Tights or underwear. Bet they're cute. Well, that's one person's opinion. I seen a bunch of them wasn't cute. Some, they didn't have no mirror at their house. They didn't look at their dad, their husband, and say, does this make me look fat? It's ugly. And by the way, Brother Rick, somebody ought to tell these young girls, you don't want the boy to see everything before he marries you. He ain't ever going to marry you. Amen. There ought to be a little mystery left. Amen. There's no mystery anymore. Did I get on leggings? Now, it's funny when I talk about, but you get to think about godly living, and that ain't funny at all. And think what God thinks about that. Did you know that He says in the Old Testament, everything above the knee is nakedness? If you see anybody above the knee, that's nakedness. That's what the Bible says. And you women say, well, that's just old-fashioned. Oh, God's old-fashioned, I guess. I don't know. Who would ever thought we'd be in such a moral free fall when right would be wrong and wrong would be right, and a man that is perverted in his sexual persuasions could be your mayor or your state representative? A man, and I don't care what they say, I wouldn't trust one of them guys around a little boy of mine. Amen. Yeah. We went out to eat last night. Shouldn't have went out to eat. Can't go anywhere. That's what my wife says. I can't take you anywhere.
sitting over here at this table. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. You're not guilty of what I'm fixing to say anyway. These men, women. Here's what I figured out, and I told Becky, you can ask her. Here's the way it is now. If you're sloppy, and you don't want to wear nice clothes, you want to be sloppy, and you don't want to not fix your hair, so you just shave it all off or chop it up. One of them had shaved up here and long over here, purple. And you'd like to wear boy clothes, then you must have been really inside a boy. Somebody just gave you the wrong body. Gender confusion, you know what I'm talking about? But now if you're a boy and you like to dress nice and be sharp, then you must be a girl in your body. They are so messed up. And those are the people that teach our children. I'd hate to have a little girl in gym class now. I'd be scared to death for that little girl. I'm going to say something, you're going to get mad at me, some of you. My girls never played softball. Never played basketball. You know why? I'm at home, they did, but they never joined teams. You know why? Those teams and those coaches is full of them. It's full of them. And they turn those girls. They turn them. I can understand a little girl not feeling good about herself, don't think she's pretty and all this stuff. But those people will see that little girl and they'll take advantage of her and they'll turn her. Whoever would have thought we'd live in a country where you were afraid to turn your children loose in the public school with a gym teacher? Our churches are full of them. Man, right here in this town, claimed to be an independent fundamental Baptist, done been to court three times. For messing with little boys. Three times. Our government's full of them. Barney Frank makes me sick every time he talks. He is a flagrant, flaming homosexual and he's not ashamed of it. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. He don't care what you say. Our government's full of it. Our country is a moral free fall. Are you listening? Our churches are full of it. Perverted, sinful people are now in charge of our churches. So here's what we got to do. We got to make the church more like the world so more of the world will come. No, sir. You're supposed to come out of the world. But these sick, perverted, religious people are turning our churches into moral bankrupt places. They have no standards of conduct. They have no right and wrong. It's whatever you want to do as long as you show up and throw some money in the bucket. Now people get, I've heard people say, well, you'll like Brother Ron, but sometimes he'll say things you don't like. That's my job. Amen. That's my job. You want a pussyfoot nickel nipping penny pinching soft soap in ear tickling back scratching preacher, or you want somebody to tell you the truth even if it makes you mad at me? But our churches have been in a moral free fall, and they're operated and run and owned by people whose morals are as low as any sorry pervert in town. And this is where God's supposed to be. I understand how the government can get infiltrated. I understand how the public schools can be infiltrated. I understand how TJ Maxx, nobody out there has morals. And I understand the restaurant, weird people going to the restaurant. But I cannot understand how the Church of Jesus Christ can allow the things that go on. Amen. Yep. I'm going to make you mad. It's pretty late, so I might as well just go ahead. The day we have a softball team in this church will be the day that Ron Roddy is dead and gone. We will not have a softball team. Amen? Amen. Church ain't about softball. Church I got saved in before I left, they ended up having softball, basketball, volleyball, golf club. I said, what happened to church? Well, this brings them in. I said, those people that do all that stuff come once a month because y'all have a rule. They got to come to church once a month or they can't be on the team. They don't care nothing about God. They don't care about your church. They just want to have fun at your expense and let you pay for it.
The day we get a big screen with rock music on it here, it'll be the day that I'll be dead and gone. Our churches are on moral freefall. They're going down more and more every day. Some of y'all don't know how rare it is to have a church that has any beliefs and structure at all now. You don't know how rare that is. They get mad at me because I make fun of leotards. Many a truth is said in jest. I'm saying the truth. I'm just wrapping it up and funny so you'll listen to it. Liquor's still bad. Beer's still bad. Wine's still bad. Lying's still bad. Fornication's still bad. Adultery's still bad. Homosexuality's still bad. And look, we need to stand so that God don't take his heads down. I don't care if it's in the White House or the Baptist House. Quick. I done went way too long. Well, preacher, you gave us the problem. Give us the answer. I want to give you the answer. I want you to know that God's still full of grace. Look at chapter 80, verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. You see that? Visit this vine. Look at verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. If our nation is going to be delivered, we've got to look up. We've got to look up. We've got to quit looking in the world and among ourselves for the answer. The answer's not here. The answer's there. We've got to seek his face. You see, the church doesn't need more programs. It needs more God. We don't need more government officials or government offices. We need more God. And Israel finally turned and they said, God, look up. God, look down on us. We look up. We want you to smile on us again. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, he says, it is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Now look at Psalm 79, verse 9. In verse 9, he says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, look at this, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Look at verse 13 and 79. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. You know what we're going to have to do in order to not be impeached by God himself? We're going to have to look up. And we're going to have to pray up. And we're going to have to confess up. And we're going to have to forsake up. And then verse 17 in chapter 80, we also got to do this. Look at verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of whom thou madest strong for thyself. You know what we got to do? We got to speak up. Now, once you've got your sins under the blood, and once you've gotten the forgiveness, you got the favor of God again. You know what God expects? He only expects one thing. Speak up. Give him the glory. God saved you for his glory. That's the only reason he saved me and you, sis, was so he could get glory. That's the only reason. He didn't save us because we're pretty. He didn't save us because we're smart. He didn't save us because we would be a great asset to the church. We wasn't. He saved us so he'd get the glory. Did you hear what happened to Billy Burgess? God must have done that. You see, God, and look, God wants the glory. God wants us. Now, he will forgive our land. He will heal our land. But if we don't give him the glory and confess up and speak up, God will go back and destroy our land again. Our churches, listen to me, have locked y'all. I got saved when I was 23. I worked with people. Before that, I went to school with people. Nobody ever talked to me about Jesus. Nobody ever witnessed to me. Nobody ever even invited me to church. And then after I get saved, they all want me to come to their church.
He says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice and show my people their sins. You know, it used to be that the government officials were afraid to okay same-sex marriage because of what the church would think and say. They were afraid to recognize these confused gender people and all this stuff because they feared what the church would say. Not anymore. Church's not going to say anything. If we don't give God the glory for what He's done in the past and for what God's doing right now, and we don't look up to Him and confess our sins as a nation, ask God to forgive us and deliver us, He's going to tear down the hedges. Our nation has already been judged. We're waiting for the judgment to fall. We're waiting for the fire to fall. We're a vine that He planted, and if we don't produce good fruit, He says, pluck the vine down and throw it into the fire it ain't fit to have. And look, we better get awake. We better wake up, and we better wake up our politicians, and you better vote every opportunity you get, and you better pray for those in authority over you, and pray God to pour out His Spirit on them, whether they're saved or not. He'll pour out His Spirit on them and spare our land. I'm serious. Some of y'all don't watch the news. You don't know what I'm talking about. We're in dire straits, buddy. We don't have any friends left in this world. And true churches are in trouble. We don't have any friends left. Some of y'all done messed up. They saw your car out there in the parking lot. You ain't never going to live this down. You're labeled already. Poor people. Y'all didn't know what you was getting into. Well, it's time we speak up. Amen. And it's time we stand up. Luke verse 18, I'll quit. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Joshua 20, 23, verse 10. He says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, He it's that fighteth for you as He has promised. I'm not a fighter. I've never been a fighter. I never have been a fighter. Even when I was lost, I wasn't a fighter. I don't like pain. So I didn't like fighting. I don't like pain. You wasn't real smart. You liked pain. You liked fight. I know. He liked pain. He liked fight. If he couldn't find one, he'd start one. But that's the way he was. But let me tell you something. Amen. He moved in. Now you're a lover. You're not a fighter. But listen, sometimes you're going to have to fight. You have to stand up, and you're going to have to be counted. And God will spare you land. But you go on, you sit around, you keep quiet, you let things keep going the way they're going, and He's going to take down our hedge for this nation. I'm going to tell you something else about your church. There's a hedge around this church. You felt it first time you come. His wife brought him in out there, and he looked at the bill, and he said, what you done got me into? He thought we was going to handle snakes and stuff, I think. If y'all got any, break them out. We'll try. Ron said, where you want the back door at? I'll make one. Listen, but there comes a time as a church we got to stand. There's been lots of times since we started this church, the devil's tried to tear the heads down. And we've had to stand up to him. And we've had to look people eyeball to eyeball and nose to nose and toes to toes and say, no, we're not having that here. You're not going to treat people like that here. You're a sheep in wolf's clothes, and we need to get you out of here. That's the way church used to be. And sometimes you got to do that. You got to stand. And you got to say, look, I don't care if you believe like us or not. If you don't like it, don't come. Everybody ain't going to like it. You got to stand. And sometimes when people's talking bad about your church, you need to say, shut up. That's my church. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I got a call one night. a man in the Bible college was sitting in there, and he was running his mouth about me and the church and everything else. And I was home, and I kept getting texts from Belinda. What's going on? What's this man doing? She was like, where am I going to go to school? And he ended up taking about five or six people with him, supposedly starting it somewhere else. He failed, of course. But I called him. He wouldn't answer the phone. So I left a message. I said, look, you don't need to come back here. We don't need people like you. We don't need troublemakers. We don't need backbiters and gossips. We need you just to go somewhere else. You say, preacher, you ought not do that. You're going to lose people. No, that's called standing up. If that bunch that left with him and he would have stayed, they'd be troubled today. And sometimes you got to stand when it hurts. And sometimes individually you got to stand. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, listen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. If you don't like that, that's too bad. That's what I am. Hey, if you don't want a friend like that, you don't want me. I won't be your friend, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And come hell or high water, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you can't do that, you need to go somewhere else and be somebody else's friend, because we're not changing just for you. Because if we change, God's going to take down his hedge from around our house. And God's been good to my house. He's put a hedge around your house. I get crying, I get talking about that. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we just need to stand. And we need to be counted. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you stood for God? I mean, do you just get locked jaw when you're around people? You don't say nothing because you're afraid of what they'll think about you? Well, I'm more worried about what he thinks. Amen. I mean, I want everybody to like me. I know they won't. There's a lot of people hate me. I don't know why. I'm a good guy. I've always been a good guy. I don't hurt nobody. But when a nation takes a stand, they have enemies. And when a church takes a stand, you'll have enemies. And when individuals take a stand, they'll have enemies. But you need to decide, do you want to please people or do you want to please God? You want God's protection or do you want their blessings? As for me and my house, we'll just serve the Lord. As for me and my church, we'll just serve the Lord. As for me and my nation, I'm going to try to keep them serving the Lord. Amen. Now, I can't control everybody, but I can control my little corner over yonder and over here. Serve the Lord. Because I don't want him taking the hedges down. Look, we've already been found guilty. All that's left is for him to take the hedges down. And we'll be destroyed. Nationally, church, or individually, we'll be destroyed. What did they do, preacher? They prayed. They confessed their sins. They asked forgiveness. They begged his mercy. And then they gave him the glory. Now, I think we're going to make it. I think our church is going to make it. I think our nation is going to make it. But what about you? Hey, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to thee. If you're not saved tonight, you know what? You don't even have a hedge. It's just the grace of God the devil hadn't killed you already. It's just the grace of God you ain't already burning in hell. If I was you, I'd run to the Savior and I'd say, God, help me. God, save me. God, forgive me. And I'll give you the glory for the rest of my life. And he'll save you. Now, some of you Christians, you know what I'm talking about. You've done things, and in your life, he's had to take down the hedge to let you get a whipping. If I was in that stage right now tonight, I'd run down the altar and I'd confess my sins, say, Lord, please put the hedge back up. I need you. My children need you. My grandchildren need you. Let's stand. Father, help us tonight.